Now, back to
Greetings. Welcome to episode 37 of Pretentious Internet Theater, a show so elite, even hipsters haven't heard of it. I am your host, Andrew Cook. If you recall last episode, I made a preemptive strike challenge to a man named Pomachu, who has excellent taste in music. Credit where it is due. He is the host of a program called Crapfic Theater. In my preemptive strike challenge, well, when you listen to his program, you'll hear what I had to say. Regardless, I'd like to play his response, which he sent to thepitpodcast@gmail.com. Take it away, Mr. Pomachu.
Mr. Cook, greetings. This is Pomachu, the host of Crapfic Theater. How are you today? Now, if we were not engaged in a one-way conversation and you could ask me how I felt in return, I would probably say, you know, I'm not too sure right now. For you see, on one hand, I'm incredibly pleased that you not only found our program, but took it upon yourself to send us such a colorful message. In fact, I have always dreamed of the moment where we would correspond and perhaps collaborate at some point. In some ways, I imagined our working relationship as that of Apollo Creed and Rocky from the Rocky films. Now, I am not referring to the first film, where Apollo Creed functions as the antagonist, and I'm not referring to the second film, or even the third film, because let's face it, the combined presence of Hulk Hogan and Mr. T kind of mucks up this analogy. No, I'm specifically referring to the fourth film, where Apollo Creed is this washed-up has-been who challenges this roided-up super-Soviet and, of course, dies in the midst of this battle. As a consequence, Rocky, who is seeking revenge, is enlisted to not only defeat Dolph Lundgren, but to put an end to the Cold War itself. Now, in this analogy, you would be Apollo Creed, I would be Rocky, of course, right? Dolph Lundgren would be fan fiction at large, and Polly's personal robot servant, well, I haven't figured out who he is yet, but anyway, you get the idea. Now, the reason I'm a little upset is that your message laid down the smack talk. It was as if Apollo Creed had turned his back on Rocky, who was then left to die in the Siberian wilderness. I don't want to die in the Siberian wilderness. I don't like the cold. For those who have no idea what I'm talking about, and to be perfectly honest, that might include me at this point, I received a challenge from Andrew Cook to record a singular work of fan fiction, Tara Gillespie's My Immortal. But rest assured, dear listeners, fear is the mind killer, and I am not afraid of the big bad goth fest. I have been to the mall and walked past Hot Topic many times. Now, granted, I've never actually gone into the store and bought anything there, but I feel that I am adequately prepared to tackle this piece of fiction.
Let me stop you right there, Mr. Pomachu. I'll play the rest of your challenge in a moment. Man, I feel like a talk show host. Anyway, I hadn't given you any challenge that I myself hadn't experienced or been exposed to. I wanted you to give your fans your take on the story. We've done a few stories before that were similar and you didn't mind. I had done Until the End of Time about a year ago, and you did that tale, and you did your own take on it. I wanted to hear your own take on My Immortal. But you know what? I like your analogy that you gave. Yes, I am like Apollo Creed, and you are like Rocky. Except, here's apparently what happened in reading the first 11 chapters of My Immortal. Apparently, Rocky went on, and we're going to say Tommy Gunn is My Immortal. You tried to coddle My Immortal, and you tried to wrap your head around it, and Polly's robot would be your sanity, and it vanished. And Apollo Creed would be the guy who wasn't in Rocky V, making him all the better for it. Not being in Rocky V, that is. As far as a collaborative effort goes, Mr. Palmachew, maybe you haven't paid attention, Mr. Palmachew, but unless I'm doing a live program, this, for the most part, is a one-man show. I don't know. You seem different than the other fan fiction readers. Something in you. I think a collaborative effort would be good, but we'll see how your sanity holds up after reading Miss Gillespie's work. I'll let you continue.
And, of course, as I welcome this challenge, I would like to issue a counterstrike. That's right. Mr. Cook, there is one piece of fan fiction you have not dramatized on pretentious internet theater. For you see, I would like for you to explore the fan fiction of the past. In short, I want you to celebrate the history of Star Trek / fan fiction. I want you to dedicate an episode of your program to the fan fiction that transforms the Starship Enterprise into an interstellar homoerotic pleasure dome. For you see, Mr. Cook, I want you to read the Kirk Spock fanfic that media scholar Henry Jenkins claims is the progenitor of all / fanfiction. I want you to read Diane Marchant's A Fragment Out of Time. Okay, to be perfectly honest, I would burst out into an evil laugh at this point, but I just recorded 11 chapters of My Immortal, and Tara Gillespie's prose has kind of left me with a sore throat, so... yeah. Anyway, you have my challenge. I await your response.
Mr. Palmachew, now, because you are unable to give an evil laugh due to reading the story, that's one of the symptoms of reading Miss Gillespie's work, I will do one for you. I expected more from you. Honestly, Diane Merchant's A Fragment Out of Time? The story you're referring to was in Grup Number 3, written in 1974. It is known as the first ever Kirk Spock / fanfiction story. Yes, and actually, you're making a reference to my third episode, where a fan requested I read it. I'm going to tell you the same thing I told him. Unfortunately for the both of you, the name of this program is called Pretentious Internet Theater. That story is not available on the internet. Vis-a-vis, I can't read it. As a matter of fact, I took the liberty of typing it up so I could get the information on a simple Google search. And... there's a new one here. DeviantArt Blink Pink's Journal. This comes to sign. Okay, doing Beatles lyrics. Yes. Ah, here we go. October 13th. If someone can find me Diane Merton, Mary Manchester, A Fragment Out of Time, I will buy you dinner somehow. There, see? And there's links here. Okay. Now leaving DeviantArt.com. Somebody scanned it. Ah!
somebody scanned a fragment out of time. It's on the internet. That means...
Well played, Mr. Pomachew. Well played indeed. Unfortunately for you, fan fiction at large will not win this fight. In fact, it reminds me of a quote by William Shakespeare. If it be a sin to covet honor, I am the most offending soul.
Pretentious Internet Theater proudly presents A Fragment Out of Time by Diane Marchant. Shut up. Where? By no means setting a precedent. He was quiet, and not merely because he was used to obeying that voice implicitly. He was being peeled, slowly, like a delicate fruit. In time to some far-off pagan rhythm, he found his logical mind was swathed in a white mist of sensuous well-being. Gentle hands spread oil warmly in ever-widening circles over his chest. Tantalizingly teasing fingers ran over each nipple, flicking the tip lightly. A slow, deliberate tongue reached out to each erect button. He shivered, then squirmed, surprising himself. A sleek, well-oiled torso slid over his chest down to his navel. Tiny shivers accompanied the soft nips at his abdomen. Warm oil was dribbled over lower areas. Then a massaging finger made him glisten. Even his thighs were being massaged. The pressure was delicious. Well-skilled hands made long swooping strokes from his knees up the inside of his leg to his upper thighs. Now, he could not prevent this any more than he could stop a solar eclipse. Even if he really desired to. It had been building all these years. No one set of circumstances was the cause. Now it seemed it had been inevitable from the outset. He felt a tightening as he contracted a little when pubic hair was brushed slightly. The weight on his legs and the sensuous stretching of the gliding above him made his pulse race. A strong pair of hands turned him onto his stomach. A river of heated oil etched a blazing trail down his spine. Light, feathery fingers sent the trail onto the very core of his being. His buttocks were being massaged. Slowly at first, then the tempo gradually increased until two hands were counter-rotating, each squeezing alternately. Then, abruptly, it stopped. No! Do not stop! He hissed. The other smiled, and then ran expert hands once more over the surface, and then between the legs, spreading them effortlessly. Careful palms cradled a very sensitive area that had just been exposed. Then the area was being stroked as a tongue flickered. Swiftly, he was on his back again, and a head and darting tongue were busy. His eyes were tight shut, tears squeezing from the corners. A hand began to pump, as if to milk. He felt he'd go mad. He was being oiled again, his groin massaged, then gently stroked. A flush had crept from the base of his skull to the groin. He yearned. He ached. Wished he never were. Weight was upon him, and his legs invaded. A shock wave crept through him for a second, only to be replaced by pleasure, as an easy pressure gyrated smoothly, exquisitely within him. Vibration. Tensingly delicious vibration. How uniquely wonderful. Feeling at the base. There. A circle of thumb and forefinger was working too, pulling slowly up and squeezing. The rhythm increasing, the grip tightening. a stray finger, circling the tip, pressed. Fire! Fire! Lips on lips. Depths. Spirals. Colors. Tensing. Reaching. Climbing. Flying. Soaring. Darkness that is light. The explosion! The Nova. Tomorrow. Tomorrow will tell. Sleep. Sleep. The End. Well, certainly an interesting story this week. Just a little bit of history. That particular story was written in 1974. And while you did not hear the names of the characters mentioned explicitly, Diane Marchant has verified that she did intend the subject to be Captain Kirk and First Officer Spock. Diane Marchant also claims that the Scrup fan magazine did not have permission to print her story, and it was just supposed to be a private message between her and a friend. I'd like to point out this is years before the internet, so be careful what you email to people. Or send letters to. Just try to be careful when you involve anything with writing. Because who knows? It might make it on the internet one day, and it might be part of pretentious internet theater. Which I'm pretty sure she did not intend for her program to be read like an audiobook. It's because she wasn't thinking leetly enough. Anyway, onward to the autumn of discontent and the fall of Pitt. That's right. Now, if you have a story you'd like to hear featured on this program, and it's on the internet, please send it to thepittpodcast@gmail.com. And also, you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, subscribe on iTunes. And remember that there is much drama on the internet, but only the best makes pretentious internet theater. Good night, and the pleasure was all yours.